The Daft Punk helmet is there, and the first drum computer of Armin van Buuren is all there. But it's not the main thing. The main thing is to try yourself, listen to records, mix a record, actually make a record with your friends.
Das ist der Telekom Electronic Beats Podcast, der Podcast rund um Nachtleben und Clubkultur.
Wir sprechen mit DJs, Türstehern, Tänzern, Clubbetreibern und anderen Nachtmenschen.
Mein Name ist Gesine Kühne.
Und ich bin Jakob Töne.
Herzlich willkommen beim Electronic Beats Podcast.
Hello, it's me, Jakob Töne, and welcome to the Telekom Electronic Beats podcast. We're all somehow a part of the dance scene. Some are creators, some are working behind the scenes, and most people take part as dancers, as part of the community. But how did the scene become what it is today? Do you remember the origin of house music? Last October, a museum dedicated to the dance community opened its doors in Amsterdam for the first time, called Our House. But what's it like to put something that you need to experience, to listen, to feel on exhibit in a museum? That's what I'm asking Arne van Terphoven. The journalist and author is one of the founding members of Our House. He tells me, for example, why the claim museum is not as fitting as immersive experience. But let's just hop right into the conversation with Arne van Terphoven. Hey, Arne.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I mean, you were celebrating, weren't you? You recently had the opening of the Our House Museum. I guess there were a lot of work before, but how is it to open it after so much time of work?
Yeah, I mean, this is of course your big thing at the horizon. For I think it was my main thing for 1.5 years. So the moment you're going to open your doors and you're going to you let people in and you actually show to people what you've been up to, it's of course something that makes you very happy, and it's also very exciting. I mean, you just come up with ideas.
Yeah.
You just do what you think is the best, obviously with a whole team. But this is the moment of truth. So it was very very exciting and also very exhausting.
Yeah,
and it was also great and a bit surreal. I mean, opening a museum. I mean, you don't do that every day.
No. I think once in a lifetime. In my opinion, it's something you're really far away from, especially when you kind of from the dance community. A museum is more like a kind of different culture.
And one thing we already learned after being opening for 1 week is that maybe the word museum.
It's not the right one.
Yeah, it's also not wrong, but it's maybe it's a little bit too heavy. I mean, museum got a pretty old-fashioned feeling, and we are more of an, as we say in proper English, an immersive experience. So we are not about looking at a frame at the wall or looking at another piece behind glass. We are something you have to experience, just like you really have to experience the dance floor. I mean, you can explain the party and the dance floor and the whole atmosphere and the strength of the dance floor
by taking a part in.
You have to. I mean, you really have to be into it. Yeah,
yeah.
So that's what we did.
Yeah, I would like to get to especially the immersive experience later in this episode, but I just wanted to like. I know from my projects, whenever something goes live or you have an event that you're celebrating the opening, how was it for you to catch up then? Did you catch up with some random people and just ask, like, how do you feel here? How did you experience what I've been working for so many times?
Yeah, of course. And then, I mean, on the day itself, first we had a press release, so a lot of press were there. And then we had a round for all the investors, the people who actually paid for it. And then a lot of friends and family came by. And then the actual ticket buyers came by. So we are there 24 hours a day to try and catch their opinion and talk to them. And, I mean, these are obviously four completely different target groups. But, I mean, their interests come from the same thing. which is obviously a past in partying, or they're currently into a partying.
Yeah, interest in dance music culture. Yeah.
Yeah, that comes from the dance floor. And it's really strange how people experience the whole thing. Like, I am more like a cultural guy. My interests are cultural. But we also have a very big section of equipment and technology, the drum computers, the sequencers.
So more technical aspects.
And like from music making. Mm. And of course, DJing, music mixing. As a visitor, that wouldn't be my thing. But there are also people who freak out on that and they ignore the cultural part. So that's really funny to notice.
Let's get into the different parts of the museum later. But I just want to, like, when I did my research and I found out, or I read an interview, I think you gave maybe 8 years ago, and you described your way or how you ended up in dance music and in the scene. Because you're an author and music journalist, and you've experienced your first night out at the Isle of Techno in Ghent, I remember.
Yeah, true.
How did you feel then? Because in the interview I've read, you talked about the first experience everyone has when they enter like a festival or a nightclub, etc. Do you think there are people that are now getting interested in the topic through the museum? Like stepping into the museum and have the kind of same feeling you got when you enter the festival?
I truly hope there are people who are coming there, I don't know, maybe against their will because they have to from their parents or because a friend bought them tickets, and then they see that the dance scene is more than just
entertainment.
Or just more than just being on the dance floor while you're totally out of your head. It's a very rich culture. It has a lot of aspects of creativity. Yeah, I hope so. But I think, listen, I don't want to be a museum that only drives on nostalgia.
Yeah.
Because the dance scene is very progressive, and it's actually very unnatural to look back. As a journalist, I wrote a couple of books about the dance history in the Netherlands. And that was actually the first time that we just stopped the clock for a second there. Because, I mean, the dance scene always wants to go further. New sounds and new concepts and new technology, embracing all things progressive. But there is actually, after like in the Netherlands, 3 decades and internationally, 4 decades, there is something to look back to. So I hope the people in our museum are the people who stopped going out to parties and want to like relive their past again. I really hope there will be people who are totally into partying right now and want to learn more, want to know where it comes from. I always say, on the shoulders of which giants we stand. Yeah. And obviously, I hope there will be some, I don't know, teenage kid who doesn't know anything and gets around there and think, what is this? I want to get into this very deep. So if you ask me, what is the target group, your target audience, my very lame answer will be, actually everybody.
Everybody who gets a ticket, or like who's coming there by abroad by parents.
Yeah.
Current dancers from the past.
Yeah.
When you started the ideation phase of Our House, what was the purpose? Like, what was the initial thing that got you starting on an immersive experience?
Well, as it goes, as we say it in the Netherlands, I don't know if it's the same thing in English, but here we say good ideas are in the air.
Yeah.
So there were 3 parties who all had the idea of a museum or a museum experience, or an archive, at least to catch and to preserve this culture. And what is a really, really good thing about this is that those parties didn't go on their own island and start the competition, but they started working together for one project, which became Our House.
What parties or what events Where is this?
Well, there were entrepreneurs from different areas, but the core, they come from ID&T.
One of the biggest in the in Central Europe.
Yeah, ID&T, one of the biggest promoter in the world, with parties like Sensation, Mysteryland, DEFCON 1. And they got bought by SFX in 2013. And then they had a reorganization. A couple of guys started a new company, and that company is the driving force of our house, but they have a history at ID&T. And from day one, we knew it has to be very like modern.
Yeah.
It has to embrace technology. It has to embrace show.
So not just showcase old turntables or, I don't know, the shoes of Larry Levan.
Exactly. I mean, we got that stuff. I mean, the Daft Punk helmet is there.
Yeah,
And the first drum computer of Armin van Buuren is all there. But it's not the main thing. The main thing is to try yourself, listen to records, mix records, actually make a record with your friends. And then there is the show part. So pretty soon we knew the museum had to be in a club. So you are in this environment of dancing and partying. And of course, I mean, club venues, club locations are most of the time on very good locations, like in the city center. But they are used, I don't know, 15% of the time, two nights per week for 6 hours, which is obviously, it's a pity. I mean, there's a lot to do with that. So we thought it had to be in a club. And we pretty soon came up with how we call it festival psychology. So you come when you buy a ticket, you are there for a time slot for 90 minutes. You come in with the whole group. First, you go to the dance floor. Then you got just like at a festival, you enter the whole thing together. Then you got your start show, your welcoming show. That is about 10 minutes. And then everybody goes his own way. Like I just said, somebody go to all the technology, but you can also dive deep in the history. There's something to see and to do for everyone. And then after 45 minutes, everybody has to get back to the dance floor. So just as a festival, when you say to each other, okay, the headline show we do together, we get back together at the end of the night or day, and then you get your... the end show, which we call the culture ride. And that is a 20-minute, very intense ride from the early 80s till now. And then you experience the whole journey, electronic music and its culture had by music and by, I like to say, the best things of a festival closing show.
Okay, so lights and everything is kind of similar.
Yeah. It's the whole package with projection and laser and CO2 and very hard music, and it has a shaking dance floor, and we like to call it VR without the glasses.
Yeah.
So you are on the dance floor and you're surrounded by this whole show, and it's on high volume. So that's something. I mean, when I talk to my mother, my mother still thinks she still says to me, "Yeah, you with your computer music and what it has no soul and what it, I mean all these old fashions, old fashioned idea about this music." And I always say to her, "Well, you can only judge when you experienced it on the dance floor on full volume, when you feel it in your stomach."
Yeah.
And everybody who has been to parties know where I'm talking about. So we said, okay, we definitely had to put this in the museum, and that will happen at the end show.
So to also give people who are really like have no touch with dance music at all, give them the chance to enjoy without like the long queue for toilets or whatever.
Yeah. And you don't have to buy an expensive ticket.
Yeah.
And it's over after 20 minutes. So if you really don't like it, you can escape.
Did your mother already have been to our house?
No. That will happen obviously very soon. Yeah. And I've been, she had her share. I mean, I've been working as a journalist for quite a long time, and I wrote some books about big promoters or about DJs. So she knows a bit, but she definitely does not feel it. And I hope that will change at this step.
So if she's listening, that's an invitation to go to our house.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we are recording this on a Thursday. Before next Thursday, she will be there, and let's hope we conquer the new soul.
Perfect. I would like to get into more detail about the content itself, or what's showcased in the museum, or in like how you really can participate. Because you already mentioned, for example, you can mix their records, you can really dig somehow the music and go through the history. Like, I think it's crazy because electronic music is so diverse nowadays. It started with, let's say, as a genre, and then spread out, and you have so many different categories or so many different subgenres. How did you like limit to use? I've read there are 150 records. How do you limit the house music or house music to 150 records?
Now there are way more records in the whole. I think there are 600 records in the whole experience. If you would check them out all, yeah, you could hear 600 different records.
You don't have the time for it. It's like limited to 90 minutes.
You have to go for a second round. Yeah. To do that, which you are obviously most welcome to do. We knew from the start we are not going to please everybody.
Yeah.
But I like to say all the genres and all the subcultures and all the scenes, they have one thing in common. If you rewind the tape, we are all children of the same mother.
Yeah.
Or we are, I don't know, nieces and nephews and... And so
we are one family.
We are one family. So the characteristics of the first house parties and dance floors where house and techno and acid emerged, they can be found in every genre. I mean, it's about being on a dance floor. It's about being together. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do on a dance floor. It works. And the goal is to completely release, to dive deep into the music and forget your daily life on nights that are not allowed to end. That's every genre or every subculture has that.
That's even just the cultural aspect. Because I mean, when you go into the technique, they're also like it's all rooted in one, like the kick, for example, that you have four to the floor kicks and the hi-hats, exactly. The techniques, the synthesizer, drum computers.
Exactly. Furthermore, obviously, we know it's very difficult. It's impossible to please everyone. So we are focusing on the early days when it was still very easy to cover actually everything.
Yeah.
And then we are focusing on some mainstream genres, which are house, techno, trance, and a little bit of ambient and break.
When you say, or when you're talking about the early ages or the early days of electronic music, who are you covering there? For people who are not really familiar or haven't, for example, listened to our podcast or my talk with Honey Dijon or my colleague's talk with King Brit. So where do you start? Where does the travel begin?
We started in the early 80s in Chicago with DJs Frankie Knuckles and Ron Hardy in a club called The Warehouse. As you know, that is where the name house comes from.
That's the story. That's the rumor.
That's the story. Yeah. I know. But I think it makes sense to me.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Yeah, same to me. Yeah.
And then the journey after that is actually pretty clear. In the 80s. You had house in Chicago, you had acid in Chicago, you had techno in Detroit, you had soulful house in New York, and then the whole road goes to Ibiza and the UK. And then very, very early after that, Amsterdam and Rotterdam, the Netherlands. and obviously Germany. I mean, there are tracks who appeal to everybody. Like, for instance, Energy Flash by Joey Beltram.
Yeah.
Or Can You Feel It?
Yeah.
Or Pullover from Speedy J. Or Born Slippy by Underworld.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually already 94.
Yeah, it's kind. So, it's 90s, definitely 90s.
So, even in Ibiza and in Manchester and in London at the end of the 80s, they were mostly playing Chicago and Detroit records. And I think the big acceleration came in the in 91, 92, when it divided in a mellow stream and a hardcore stream. So I think to select the records from 2010 till now is way, way harder than to select the records from...
Because there are much more records released, more subgenres. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we really did our best to make it authentic. I mean, we are open to everybody. We want to be welcome also to families, and we want to be welcoming insiders and industry people. But we also want to welcome people who are just slightly interested, and or they just are in Amsterdam and they on the morning they wanted to check what they will do with their day.
Yeah.
We want to welcome them all. So it's not going to be very total underground left wing difficult music, but from day one we said to each other, it's very important that the underground people and that the people who are totally into it and that the people who've been in the industry for decades, that at least then they see that we understand where this thing comes from.
Yeah. Did you work with certain artists on like the curation, also like what content you will showcase? Were there any artists involved directly?
Yeah. Actually, we wanted to involve the whole scene. So it's not only about artists, but it's also about from big stage and show builders in the industry. We ask all big festivals to participate. And our history part is actually made together with some like DJ icons that really stand for their own period of time or their genre. We call it the History Masterclass. It's a really cool thing. I mean, it's a giant lead wall. It's a 10-meter lead wall from floor to ceiling, really big. And in the middle of the wall, shows actually the whole history from in the early 80s till now as a timeline, yeah, from left to right. And then in the middle of the wall, you have a screen, and the history is told by the people who were there. And these people are Kevin Sonnesen from Detroit, Carl Cox, Armin van Buuren, Charlotte de Witte, who is the hottest DJ in the world right now, and Diplo.
So also from different times.
Very different times, yeah. And they and we curated the story with them.
Yeah.
So they are ambassadors. They are part of the whole thing, and this took us a lot of time and a lot of research and a lot of checking. Like, I mean, does it make sense? Is this okay? Can we tell it like this? Because everybody has obviously their own truth.
Yeah.
And everybody is the center of their own truth. So I mean, if you were in, I had that once with when I made a book. I made a book about 25 years of dance history in the Netherlands, and the one guy reviewed it, and he's from the countryside in the Netherlands, and he's from a small village in the south, and there you have an area with a little bit of hills and caves, and there were parties in the caves.
Oh wow!
I mean, and this is early 90s, and he said it was a pure disgrace that the parties in the caves were not in the book. And this is like an example of the fact that you are the center of your own truth. I mean, he was there. For him, it was this is his party history. For him, this is the place where he took his first pill. For him, this is the place where he heard his first beats. And that is obviously life-changing. But in the bigger scheme of things, what happened in the clubs in Rotterdam and in Amsterdam and in Eindhoven is of more influence on the rest of the history. So in the book, we made a choice to mention that.
Yeah.
But we'll always, I mean, I'm ready to take all the complaints about it, but I can tell you, we really took care of this. We wanted to be very authentic. We want to do justice on history.
Yeah.
But of course, there are borders to this. It's very hard, but it comes from really, I mean, I want people to understand it comes from a really good place.
Do you think that our house would be different if it's situated in New York, for example?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think the choices that are made are always colored by where you come from.
Yeah.
You can avoid that, but we checked each other for the whole ride. But then again, I mean, the Netherlands were of big influence in the past 30 years. We connected to electronic music pretty early in time. And we made a whole industry out of it. And I mean, I don't have to tell you about the Dutch DJs and the Dutch party concept. But I mean, it's very, obviously very, very strange. It's such a small country.
But the industry and the scene is very big. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so dominant internationally. This is very strange.
Do you have the feeling that, especially in the Netherlands, the people are not really aware where the music and the culture is coming from? Was that also one of the main purposes, maybe to show them? Because it's very big. If you go to, for example, the main festival scene in the Netherlands is electronic.
No, I think, I don't know. I don't know if people are really aware of the history, but everybody knows that we are the country with the most festivals in the world in absolute numbers.
Yeah.
Crazy. In absolute numbers. Everybody knows that we have a lot of DJs in the annual DJ Mag competition, which is important to a certain part of the scene. We got the biggest platform for hardcore in Thunderdome. We got the biggest platform for hardstyle in Q-Dance with their festival DEFCON 1. We got the biggest platform in the world for techno by Awakenings. We got the biggest industry event with Amsterdam Dance Event. And we are also, as the Netherlands, we are also very influential behind the scenes. For instance, in crowd control or the Celebrate Safe campaign that went global is a Dutch idea. So I mean, of course, this thing had to be in Amsterdam. But I mean, in Chicago or in Berlin or in London would have been justified as well.
Yeah. Did you ever think about, instead of having a permanent museum or an exhibition space, did you ever think about having a touring exhibition and also highlighting local influences or the local history, as you said that you're very influenced, of course, from your surroundings, and that the museum is also very much looking into the Dutch part of in the history. But was there an idea about having this toured or having other our houses with other highlights or other spotlights on history?
Yeah. This is actually our next step.
Okay.
this is the plan. I mean, we opened with our first version of this experience, and then I hope before Christmas we have our second version improved, and then we hope that somewhere next year we will sit together and talk about how we can make a touring exhibition out of this. But we take things one step at a time. But obviously, that would be great and very logical, I think. Yeah, this is something you can travel with. Obviously, you have to find a local partner with local views. So yeah, if we catch up next year in November, maybe I have a little bit more news about this. But this is definitely part of the big plan, and I think we even have to. I mean, we do this to catch and to preserve and to spread the love on this.
Yeah.
So yeah, of course, we want to do that.
Do you think that it's becoming more and more a thing over the last years? That yeah, somehow in the dance culture, exhibitions are maybe round up the experience of music. I remember, for example, in Berlin, there was an event at Funkhaus, which is an old broadcasting station from the GDR. And there was just a giant 808 exhibit. And you were invited to like program drums by hand.
Yeah.
Like it's really huge. I think you saw it, you've seen it, but I think it's becoming more and more a thing to like get people interested in also creating, because I think the barriers, especially in electronic music, are very low for being creative and doing like making music. Do you think it's becoming more and more a thing?
Yeah, but I don't know. Is it? I think it's more. This is what time does. I don't think it's the fact that you have to experience the thing yourself. There will also be experiences about other subjects, like, I don't know, maybe sports or other art forms. I think here in Amsterdam, we have a museum called Next Museum. It's driven by modern technology, so a lot of projection. And they just give, they actually give an artist a space. So this is your space, and they can switch. So it's way more dynamic than a frame at the wall. So, and this just falls together with the fact that the dance scene is now ready for this. We are a young culture. Pop music and rock music are way older. I mean, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they started in the 70s, and I think end of the 70s, which is 30 years after rock and roll started.
Yeah. So I think it's just natural that those things pop up.
Yeah, at first the genre is revolutionary.
Yeah.
Then it gets normal. Then it grows out of the underground, and then it gets normal, and then it gets mainstream, and then it gets commercial. And then after that, 20 years have passed, and then there's an element of nostalgia, or there's a thing to look back. And especially when it comes to music or partying, those are people's best memories.
Yeah.
It catapults everybody to the time you were young. I mean, it's scientifically proven that you are most connected to the music you hear from 15 till 28. After that, it gets harder, scientifically proven to connect. So when you're really into partying and you just left your parents' house and you fall in love and you make choices and you make new friends,
yeah,
like this, and when you're at the end of your teenage years or in your early 20s, the music that comes with that is forever connected to you, and it just takes time before you're able to make a museum out of that. Now we are at a moment in time where it's the turn of electronic music and its culture, and that is also a time that is dominated by technology. So I don't think the fact that technology is involved with all those exhibitions can be. It's not really about the genre; it's also about the moment in time where we live. But I do agree that it's very accessible and it's easy to start making electronic music. But that doesn't mean, this is really important to say, that doesn't mean everybody can do it.
No, of course. But the barriers are very low, which are also kind of matching the culture that it's for everybody. And it's not for those who can afford, for example, high costs instruments, etc., and equipment.
Yeah, we have in the museum. We have a DJ set, completely stripped down. So it's only about queuing.
Okay.
Line up two records and then mixing it, and that one is really
accessible for everyone.
Yeah, and people really, really like it. I mean, the moment when you feel you're good, you're mixing it good, it's a triumph. And there are obviously a lot of people who say, I never thought it was this difficult, or I didn't know how this worked. It has only two,
faders. Yeah.
Two faders and two tracks. And I mean, that causes a lot of fun.
Maybe that gets people into DJing then at the first place. I mean, that's also one thing. You start a museum, and I've also read about enclosed academy, because that would be also the natural next step to also educate people more into detail about certain aspects you may showcase in our house What's the plan on the academy, or what was your purpose to also start an academy?
Yeah, as I said, we do this to preserve our culture, to be part of it, to play a role in it for a lot of more decades to come. So besides the museum, we are starting a whole platform. On one side, it's this content-based, and on the other hand, is education. We already in Amsterdam had a couple of organizations who did that, and we collaborated with one. It's called the School of House, and they already gave courses like DJing courses or Ableton courses, but also masterclasses about event and promoting and marketing in music or how to run a label. And we think it's I mean, it sounds really idealistic, but we also think it's our duty to do that. I mean, we have the knowledge, we have the content. Let's spread it and try to get younger people on board and try to raise the level of this of our industry.
To make our house a proper our house where like everybody can meet up and learn and gather around, have a community. I think that's also what the title is about, isn't it?
Exactly. And we have our, when we speak about the academy, we have our, there's a physical part where you are really in sort of classrooms, but it's also digital, which can be done all over the world. And that also fits the dancing, I think. It's always been very open and international, but I do have to say this will all start now, right? now we are open
at the very beginning. Yeah
But it's still our house academy is up and running, so everybody's interested can go there. And so this is also very Dutch. This is very Dutch to do this, to like institutionalize it. And then we are a small country. We always had to look abroad and be focused on exporting things. The educational part, I think it's very logical that it comes from the Netherlands. It's very funny.
But I think the UK and Germany are also very into that. I know for sure that there are certain universities that are focusing on only that aspect, but it sounds natural to me.
Yeah, and during the lockdowns, COVID lockdowns, I mean, there was a lot. Suddenly, you saw that a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, you definitely said there were DJs who were at home and they thought, okay, what can I do? Let's start a masterclass. We've seen a lot of them. Yeah, yeah.
But it's also great because then they can show others how they made it their way. And I think electronic music is also about discovering different paths. I think that's also one of the main reasons why the genre developed itself so much, because everyone is discovering a new path for himself.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Arne, I thank you so much for your time, and I'll definitely have our house on my list next time I come to Amsterdam, because you really made me very curious about also the part where you can really take a part in the exhibition.
Yeah.
And I thank you for your time.
All right. Please come by. You are always welcome. And let's hope you can combine that with some great partying in Amsterdam.
For sure.
We are facing a new lockdown, actually.
Yeah.
And that was in the news today. So that gets pretty hard. But in the end, we'll survive as an electronic music scene.
Perfect ending. Thank you so much, Arne. That was my chat with Arne van Terphoven. I'm really keen to visit our house the next time I'm in Amsterdam. And I'm really looking forward to the academy. If you joined this conversation, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or text us your feedback on Instagram. See you next time.
Das war der Telekom Electronic Beats Podcast.
Abonniert den Podcast bei Apple, SoundCloud, Spotify oder Deezer.
Wir sehen uns im Club.
Bis dann.